Our reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The chubby, bald baby boy, Will, was the center of attention. It was his first birthday, and a few people who knew and loved him and his family were at Will's house celebrating. Will could not speak yet, but his joy and his happiness on that day manifested itself in the form of a dance. It was a dance that he had created just himself a day or so before, and it had a lot of fancy arm movements. After cake and singing and presents, Will was doing his dance, and everyone was admiring him and cheering him on when Jason, the 7-year-old son of Will's godparents, decided that he had had enough. He burst through the circle of family and friends and shoved Will hard. Will fell down, landing on his diapered bottom and then hitting his head with a crack on the floor. Now, Will didn't cry at first. You probably are familiar with this if you've been around babies. He was too shocked. No one had done something like this to him before. And when he did cry, he didn't cry for too long. His mother hugged him and comforted him until he stopped. And when she helped him to his feet, the whole room was shocked by what he did. Because he walked across the room to Jason, and he put his arms around him, and he laid his head on his chest. Now, how does that real-life story from Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor, how does that strike all of you this morning? Do any of you feel like Taylor said she did, who admitted that she wanted at that moment to arm her sweet nephew with a BB gun or iron knuckles, or maybe just get him enrolled in some karate classes so that he would not spend his entire life eating dust on the playground? Well, let's think about it. Because she tells this story, and I retell this story for a specific reason in light of today's scripture. In these 12 verses, Paul packs in 30 instructions. Don't count them now. 30 instructions about love and how Christians should show that they know what love truly means and they know what it looks like. He is writing to the church in Rome here in this letter. It is a church that is unlike any other that he has written to in those other letters that we know in the New Testament, because this is a church that he has not been to yet. But he knows what's going on in Rome. He knows that things in Rome are not all rainbows and unicorns. First of all, as you can imagine, Christians were in conflict with non-Christians. Rome was the center of the empire. And the empire expected you to do very specific things. And worshiping someone other than the emperor was not one of them. But that wasn't all that was going on. As if that wasn't enough, Christians were in conflict with each other. And this is because the church was made up of Jewish followers of the way of Christ, as well as non-Jews or Gentiles. And everyone had their own idea of what Christian life looked like. And I don't know if you will believe this or not, but once believers got into their minds that they had all the rules and all the rights and all the wrongs figured out, they could be kind of stubborn about it. And at that point, whatever they had been told about God is love and love your neighbor, all of that kind of fell by the wayside in day-to-day living with people both inside and outside of the church. So Paul kind of goes overboard. Paul kind of goes overboard in his instructions in this part of the letter. He has been very careful in the earlier chapters of this letter. Well, we call them chapters. It was just the earlier part of his letter. But in the earlier part of the letter, he tells those who are reading that the Jews who had become converts were in no way superior to the Gentiles who believed as well. God is simply not partial to Jew or Greek. The Jews did have the benefit of the law. They did have the benefit of having historically been called the people of God. But they didn't have any sort of leg up on anyone from that. The law had not been able to save them. It was all a matter of faith. And there was salvation for everyone. But Paul is quite clear that while salvation is a matter of faith, believers need to strive daily to live in a way that shows that they are dead to sin. If they are living in Christ, sin should be no more. We should at least try. In short, faith should transform everything about a believer, not just their end destination. Faith causes the believer, we've heard this a couple of weeks ago, faith causes the believer to haul himself or herself up on the altar, a living sacrifice to God, heart, mind, soul, and body, a sacrifice that glorifies God and serves his creation. Faith causes the believer to use the gifts that they are given in God's service, hand in hand with other believers who are also gifted and who are using theirs. And what happens is something much, much greater than could happen by gifted individuals who were not connected with each other and working for God. And here in this particular passage, we see that faith causes the believer to live an upside down life of love. A love that is real, not put on and not fake. A love that is not based on what the person that we are loving can do for us. A love that is extended to family and friend, but also to the total stranger. A love that is given to those who persecute and do evil to you. A love that is not always convenient, and a love that is not always without cost in either time or money. A love that hugs even the person who shoved you to the ground in the middle of your beautiful birthday dance. Now let me be clear, and Paul sort of alludes to this there in verse 18, but peace is not always possible. Peace should not be purchased at the price of what is right, okay? Peace is not always possible. This story today about a little boy who was shoved down by another child at a birthday party, you should not take this to some extreme measure and say that we always need to forgive and reconcile with those who abuse or hurt. Your life will be easier if you can forgive, but reconciliation does not have to be part of that. But see, I love what Barbara Brown Taylor says when she says that in these instructions to the Romans, Paul seems to understand this, that the real enemy is not the one who pushes us down in the middle of our dance, but the real enemy is whatever it is inside of us that makes us want to leap up and push back. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, Paul writes. If we let the enemy inside of us win every single time, doling out revenge for every slight shove and push that we receive, we end up doing a lot of sliding, shoving, and pushing. And that doesn't look like love, does it? Paul knew that the church in Rome, where he had never stepped foot, was full of people sliding, shoving, and pushing back against offenses, both real and perceived. And he knew that the people who were doing that were not people who were living eternally. They were not living that abundant life. These were not people who were transformed by the love that had been shown to them, because if they were, this love would have overflowed to those around them. Paul knew that to the extent that this sliding and shoving and pushing was going on within the church was not a properly functioning body that was glorifying God. 12 verses, 30 instructions that are as valid and life-giving today for this church and for each person within it as it was for that church and those people. 12 verses, 30 instructions meant to keep the enemy inside each one of us at bay. 12 verses, 30 instructions to let the light of Christ shine through so that the whole world would know and see the love of God, because it knows the love of his people. May the Holy Spirit empower us this week to show the love of God to all we meet, within and without the church, all for the glory of our Heavenly Father and all in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this world is full of situations and people that push our buttons. We are convinced that we follow you and we listen to you and we know what is right, and everyone else who doesn't believe exactly the way we do must be wrong. And when we run into these situations and these people in our lives, it is very, very difficult for us to put our arms around them and love them, to see that they are doing their very best to follow you, or perhaps they just need to meet you. So Lord, help us this week to stop looking around for how everyone else is different from us and to look and see what we share alike. That spark of your spirit within us. And for those who haven't realized it yet, may the way that we love them fan that flame into a raging fire. Lord, be with your church that we might be the light that we are to be to the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.